the question that we left off with last week that Jerry Duffy has brought up tonight. And I may throw in a little bit of a curve for you, but it'll all be good. Amen. John chapter number 10. And by the way, we're looking at the I am statements. I am the door is the one that we're looking at. But also in this same chapter, anybody know what the other I am statement is? I am the good shepherd. Amen. That one is also in here. John chapter number 10. So let's go over to chapter number 10. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. And then I'm going to ask you to step in with me at number 6. John chapter 10. All right. So nobody needs to have the fans on. We're good. Nobody's too hot. No, last time everybody was frostbitten. No frostbitten people tonight? Okay, amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. All right. John chapter 10. Notice when he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Join in with me from 6 down to 9. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Father, over the next several moments that we have this evening, help us to navigate down through this passage, Lord, to uncover some of the questions that were stirred up at the last time of our discussion, and help us to thoroughly dissect the Word of God once again, Lord, finding the little nuances that are there and the hidden meanings that are there, Lord, that the students of the Bible need to uncover. Bless now the children's time that they have next door. And most of all, Lord, may you receive all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Thank you for loving us. Lord, bless this time now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, you may be seated. Last time we were here, we were talking about the third of the I am statements. John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. Again, he's speaking to the same crowd that he was speaking to in chapter number 9. You remember in chapter number 9, the blind man was healed, and there was some discussion there. The same crowd is being talked to in chapter number 10, primarily the religious crowd, along with the Jewish crowd as well. Amen. So he did talk about a parable. Notice what it says here, verse 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them. What do we say a parable is? Sure, Charles? Earthly story with a heavenly meaning, or an earthly story with a spiritual truth. In other words, he's taking something that people can understand on the in the natural plane speaking, and then take it and apply a heavenly truth to it to understand something that's spiritual. Amen. That's what a parable is. And so he's talking about that going down here. Amen. Notice what he says down there in the parable there is verses 1 through 5 about the stranger entering in, by the way. And what we talked about was this. Because Jesus said, I am the door, what are doors for? Entering, we said three basic things. Entering, exiting, and protection. Those basic three things. Now, you can use doors for other things, but those basic things. Entering, exiting, and protecting. And we did mention this, also dividing. You want to divide what's on this side from what's on the other side. Some folks in their houses have what they call those open plan, what do we call open plans? open floor plan, amen, where everything is wide open. There's nothing separating anything. So you can see what's going on in the kitchen. You can see what's going on in the living room. Some ladies don't like that. They don't want you to see what's going on in the kitchen, amen, until after it's all said and done, amen. But some people, they have that open floor plan where you can see everything. But some doors are made to shut things off and to divide, amen. And so you can see what's going on. So basically doors, when he says, I am the door, doors are for entering, exiting, and protecting, and also dividing. And we said for the sheep, that meant this, they can have protection from people and predators. Amen. Why? Sheep are vulnerable. Amen. They're vulnerable, so they need to have protection from people and predators. And we said for us, from humanly speaking, we need protection from people, predators, privacy, pests, and precipitation. Amen. And the literal definition for door is this, a portal or an entrance or the opening or closure of a gate. Amen. We went down through the Gospel of John to see how doors were used. And everywhere we saw a door, guess what it was used for? Entering, exiting, or protecting, or dividing. It was always used in that manner. And so we saw that John agrees that doors are for entering, exiting, and protecting. And then we came down to verse number 3. And notice what it says in verse number 3. To him the porter openeth. Okay, now, talking about the shepherd. And it says, to the shepherd the porter openeth. And so we had to observe what this word porter meant, and we found this out. Porter was a watcher of the gate, or he was a warden that kept the door. So in other words, he was the one that would sit here at the door, and he would protect the door. How many of you ever see these places where there's a doorman? His job is to open the door, to close the door, much of what an usher would do. He was also there to protect so that people that were not invited did not come in. Amen. So when you look at this word porter, it says, to him the porter openeth. If Jesus is the door, then we ask this question, who is the porter? Now, something very interesting about a porter. Go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. We looked at this verse last week. There's several things that a porter does that kind of gives it away as to who this porter is. 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 18. And if you come to 2 Samuel 18, notice down in verse number 26. And again, trying to find out who this porter is. And let's look at what the porter does. 18 and verse 26. And I want you to notice something in verse number 26. And what's going on here? Absalom is defeated. And after he's defeated, they see somebody coming and they're wondering who it is. And a watchman actually identifies who it is. Notice what it says in verse 26. And the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter. So just looking at that, first of all, what is one of the porter's first responsibilities? The watchman sees who's coming, and he calls to the porter. What is one of the first responsibilities of the porter? Open the gate or close it, depending upon who's coming. So in other words, his first goal is to identify who's wanting to gain entrance. So the porter is here. The watchman is up on top. The watchman spies somebody out there. And he says, hey, look, so-and-so is coming. All right. So the first thing is to identify who's approaching. Okay. Notice what it says again. And the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. Notice the next phrase or next sentence. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. How do you think the king knew that there was a messenger bringing tidings? Well, he didn't know him. He wasn't running alone. How did the king get the message? The porter. The watchman identifies. The watchman gives the news to the porter. What's the porter's job then? Hey, let's notify the king. Let the king know so-and-so is coming down here. And the king's response is, hey, that guy's bringing some tidings too. So one of the first things that the porter's job is to identify or validate who's coming. Once the porter identifies or validates who's coming, his next job is to go in and to inform the king. friend or foe. Amen. Basically. So when you look at 2 Samuel 18:26, the king said he also bringeth tidings. Of course, later on, we'll find, you know, you find out in that passage who it is that was definitely coming here. But the main thing we want to see there is that the porter's job was to allow entrance or exit and protection by validating the credentials of the person coming. Somebody had to let him know who's coming. His job is not to watch. His job is to open the door. Y'all got that? Okay. So his job is to open the door, but he's got to validate the credentials. And then his job is to introduce and say, Your Majesty, so-and-so is coming. Y'all got that so far? So his job is to ID, validate, then announce. All right. That's going to be key as we unfold this area. Amen. All right. So let's go back to John. Now go back to the initial question. To him, the porter openeth. So to Jesus, the porter is going to open. So now we've got to figure out who then is this porter. Jerry thinks it is who?
I think it's the Holy Ghost.
Okay, Jerry wants the Holy Ghost. Anybody agree it's Holy Ghost? Anybody have any other suggestions other than the Holy Ghost? Think about what the porter does now. My job is to identify who's coming, validate, and then go inside and introduce. Yes?
Well, Kim, thanks
for what
we're thinking about. But I said, well, Pastor, using like this for research, Pastor, you go a little further.
Amen, amen.
And so this is what I think your thought. Because in John, where we're at in John 10, mm-hmm. I believe it is the Holy Ghost. However, when you mentioned also John the Baptist, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost in the womb. In Acts 1:8, that tells you that.
Mm-hmm.
He was filled already before he was even born with the Holy Ghost. And then, of course, you've got in Acts 2:38, and Peter said unto them, you'll be baptized. He just raised the people again. And then the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Anyone with the Holy Ghost, by all rights, should be a porter now to Christ, because you're opening the door to a lost world.
Okay.
And we're letting them get to know him, and it's up to them whether they come in or not. But we should all be considered porters of Christ. Otherwise, what do we do?
Amen. Amen. I like that train of thought. I like that train of thought. Let's do this here. The two suggestions scripturally and by biblical scholars are John the Baptist and the Holy Spirit as the porter. Okay. Again, what's the porter's job? Porter's job then is to sit at the door of your heart to validate, to identify credentials of things coming into your heart. Then the job is to take that inside to your heart and announce who it is. Your job then is to accept or reject it. All right. Remember, how many remember the board? Remember the board with the different categories on there? Similar to that. Okay, that there's a process here, all right? So let's look at John the Baptist first, okay? Again, what's the porter's job? Validate the credentials, introduce or announce the individual. Let's go to John chapter number 1, because some think John the Baptist is a porter. John chapter 1. Let's do something here real quick, and we're going to try and dig through here very, very quickly here. John chapter 1 and verse number 15. Notice John chapter 1 and verse 15. And what are the first three words? John bear what? Witness. So what does that mean? He's identifying. He's identifying. What else is he doing? Notice it says, John bear witness of him in Christ, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. So what is John bearing witness of? I've identified him, I've validated him, and I can now announce him. Jesus Christ is the one. So some think Jesus Christ, John is the porter because he validated and he identified Jesus Christ and he announced and said, hey, here he comes. Give you a few more verses here. Come down to John chapter 1. And we're still in 1. Let's go down to verse 19. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and died, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" They got to answer back to the priest. He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." They which were sent were of the Pharisees. They asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latches I am not worthy to unloose." Amen. So John here is identifying, validating, and announcing. Come down to verse number 29. The next day, John what? Seeth Jesus coming. What is that? Identification. And saith, what is that? Announcing. Behold who? The Lamb of God, identifying, which taketh away the sin of the world. So he is authenticating, validating, and announcing that this is he who is going to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Come down to verse 36. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, what? Behold, the Lamb of God. What's he doing? Announcing. He's already identified. He's already validated. Now he's announcing again. Behold, the Lamb of God. Now what's their goal? What do they have to do now that they see that that's the Lamb of God? Accepted or rejected? John has already been the porter. He's validated. He said, "Look, here it is. I'm announcing it to your heart. That's the Lamb of God. You're not going to have another one." Now my heart's job is to what? Accept it or reject it. So many think it's John the Baptist. He is the porter that is there to announce, to identify, and to validate Jesus Christ as the porter. Show you another verse here. Come over to John chapter 3 and verse number 30. John chapter 3 and verse 30. And what statement does John make here? He must increase, I must what? Decrease. So again, pointing the way. He said, it's not about me. I've already announced, I've already identified and shown you, behold, the Lamb of God. He is the one that you need. So many think John the Baptist is this porter because it says, to him, or to Jesus, the porter openeth. And everybody thinks it's John the Baptist. All right. Show you one more verse here. Go over to John chapter 10, verse 41 and 42. John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, notice verse 41. And many resorted unto him and said, "John did how many miracles?" No miracle, but all things that what? John spake, was that identifying and validating of this man were what? True. And what is the outcome? And many believed on him there. Why? Because to him the porter openeth. The porter's job is to identify, validate, announce who's there. My heart's job then is to accept it. And what happened here? They accepted it. They accepted it. So many believe that it is John the Baptist because many believed on him there. Amen. So some think it's the John the Baptist. Others think it's the Holy Spirit. Go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. So how many of y'all convinced that it's John the Baptist? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Tasha said, "I'm not saying anything until I see the Holy Spirit." Then I'll make my choice. Amen. John chapter 16. And in John chapter 16, let's pick it up here in verse number 4. Of course, starting in John chapter 14, what's the tone? In John chapter 14, what's the tone? What's happening? What's he talking about? Is that Jamelli? About what? That is true. But what is he preparing them for? Holy Spirit, yes, but what else is he preparing in front? Ms. Hall? Yeah, Jana? What? Huh? Yes, but where's he going to go? Yeah, he's leaving them. He's preparing them starting 14. He's like, look, let me prepare y'all now. I'm leaving. Y'all hear that? I'm leaving. Y'all 12, I'm leaving. And they're like, what? So 14, 15, and 16, he's preparing them that he is leaving. If he leaves, who's coming? Holy Spirit. And so notice in chapter 16 and verse number 4. But these things have I told you that when the time shall come, keep that in mind, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was what? With you. So he says some things are coming. You're not going to really understand it now. You will understand it then. From the beginning, I've told you some things and you really can't comprehend it all, but you will. But now, verse 5, I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Notice verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I what? Go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, who is the Comforter? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. The Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Notice he's speaking in future tense terms, which means that he is not here now. Y'all got that? But he is coming. Now, verse 8, notice what he says here. And when he is what? Come, future tense, he what? Will, future tense, reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Sin, because they believe not on me. Righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now notice verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye what? Cannot bear them now. Why can't I understand them now? Aha, I don't have spirit. So I don't understand what you're saying right now. So I can't really get it all. I hear what you're saying. How many of y'all got saved the first time you heard the word of God? No. You did? First time you heard it? Now, first time I heard the gospel, I got saved. But the first time I heard the word of God, I didn't get saved. Now, most of us didn't. You know why? The Spirit's got to take that in and work on you. It's got to work on you. So when you hear about spiritual things, now you can be alert. Hey, I heard something about heaven. Hey, I heard something about hell. Hey, I heard something about righteousness. Hey, I heard something. The antenna goes up, but you don't get saved until the Spirit of God begins to work on you. And what is the Spirit's job? Same thing. Identify the credentials, validate, and then what? Announce. Hey, the truth is coming. The truth is here. That's the Spirit's job. Was he there yet?
No, not
yet. Not yet. Notice what he said, goes on in verse 12, verse 13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, what is that? Future tense. He will guide you into all truth. For he what? Shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that what? Shall he speak, and he will what? Show you things to come. So when you look at this, this is all future tense. Verse 14. He shall what? Glorify me, for he shall what? Receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Verse 15, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall, notice that future tense, take of mine and what? Shall show it unto you. Everything about this passage is future tense. The Spirit of God is not there. So is the porter John the Baptist or the Holy Spirit?
Holy Spirit.
Aha, let me raise another question to you then. Let me throw in another variable here. Is this the porter John the Baptist or the Holy Spirit? Come to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Now, what did it say to him? The porter what? Openeth. 24, and let's start in verse 24:16. This is the two on the road to Emmaus. Notice verse 16, but their eyes were what? Holden. That means they really weren't allowed to see spiritually what they needed to see. Their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Amen. This is Jesus Christ as he comes to join them. Now drop down to verse number 31 after Jesus gets done talking to him and right before he leaves him. And their eyes were, what's the word? Open. Who did that? And their eyes were open and they what? Knew him and he what? Vanished out of their sight. Come down to verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened? Who did? He opened to us the scriptures. So who opened them up? Jesus opened them up. Jesus opened them up. Come down to verse 35. Verse 45. Notice what it says down there. Verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you. If you got your red letter edition Bible, this is Jesus speaking. While I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Jesus basically said everything about the Old Testament was speaking about who? Me. He said, if Moses wrote it, it's about me. If it's in the Psalms, it's about me. If the prophet said it, it's about me. You know what he's saying? It's all about me. Amen. Why? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It's all about me. Amen. Then opened who?
He.
Their understanding. So is the porter John the Baptist? Is the porter the Holy Spirit? Is the porter Jesus? It says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures and said unto them, thus it is written and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day and the repentance and remission of sin to be preached in his name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Notice this. And behold, I, future tense, send the promise of my Father upon you, which is who? The Holy Spirit. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until what? Ye be endued with what? Power from where? On high. Who is that? The Spirit of God. All right. Are y'all thoroughly confused now? Yes. And you raise a valid point.
And the whole job of the Holy Spirit is to point us to Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit is not about himself.
And this is true.
It's about Jesus.
He clearly said that in John chapter 16.
And while John did these things, he was indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But if you read other scriptures, there were other people who heard, authenticated, and announced.
Mm-hmm. That's true. See, now you're
there for that point in time only.
Now you're meddling in my notes now. Amen.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Jerry.
I was just going to say it sounds more like the porter is, what is it, a dispensation of time.
You hit the nail on the head.
And so whoever God tells, Jesus was his own porter at one point because he told all the people of himself. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost in the womb. He told people of it. We do that. Yes, I still think that. We too are porters now.
All right. So you guys are collectively on the right trail. Amen. All right. So is the porter John the Baptist? Is the porter the Holy Spirit? Is the porter Jesus? In contextual speaking, the porter is both. Both. Why is it both? Number one, John the Baptist, for them in their dispensation, were under what? The law. Was the Spirit of God operational as far as indwelling people? No. They had outward obedience to a law. That was their, that's how they did things. It was outward obedience to a law. So the Spirit of God was working on them, yes, but the Jews weren't looking for the Spirit. They were looking for somebody physically formed, i.e. prophet, i.e. Moses, i.e. Elijah, i.e. Isaiah, that were Spirit-filled, that could say, yes, that's the Lamb of God. I've identified him. I've authenticated him. And now I'm announcing him. You need to get him. That's why they're always talking about the prophets, because they did the same thing John the Baptist did. So under the law of dispensation, John the Baptist was there for them. Notice John chapter 10, verses 41 and 42. We'll read that again. John chapter 10, verse 4. So it is both, but you've got to look at the dispensation. Were we there during John's time? No, so John could not have been a porter for us. John chapter 10, but he could have been a porter for them because he announced, identified, and validated Jesus Christ. 41 says this, and many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. So the dispensation there was an outward obedience. John the Baptist is pointing them to him. He identified him, validated him, vindicated, and said, look, now you've got to receive him. If you don't receive him, this is what you got. Matter of fact, Herod cut his head off because he didn't like the message. Amen. Now, when it comes to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, for us in our dispensation, we're not under law, but under what? Grace. And it's not an outward obedience now, it's an inward obedience to the Spirit of God. So we don't look at an outward law to obey the law of God. We look inward, and the Holy Spirit tells us what to do. What did Jesus continue to say in John 16? He shall, when he has come, he will guide you in all truth. I've got many things to say, but you can't understand that. But when he come, you will understand it. Hey, folks, how many of y'all read the Bible before you got saved? You couldn't understand what you were reading. Amen. I could understand Noah and the ark. I could understand Daniel and the lion's den. I could understand the flood. But the deep things of God, it went right over my head. I got saved and God began to open up those doors, and the porter began to say, hey, look, this is it. I've identified it, announced it, and here it is. But also things like this, the Holy Spirit said. People said, hey, look, since you got saved, have you been baptized? And I said, no, not yet. They said, you're not really saved then. And the porter said, stop. I've identified that. That ain't valid. That ain't valid. We're not going to even announce that, a foolishness. Read your scriptures. Amen. Read your scriptures. We guard this door. And I read the scriptures. And I said, this could not be true. I know I got saved and I'm not baptized yet. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved and I know I'm saved. And the porter said, nah, you're cooking. Read the book. He's got the truth. Now let that truth in here. Eternal security is called eternal life. It's called everlasting life. You can't lose that. What if I'm baptized? Matters not. What if I'm bad? It matters not. What if I break a leg? It matters not. Hey, the Holy Spirit, the porter, let me know. Error from truth. So the Holy Spirit then was needed spiritually to point the way for you and I in our age of grace in this dispensation. For them, John the Baptist was necessary. Remember, we looked at the witnesses. And what was John's witness? John said, look, this is him. I've identified him. I know the Son of God. You can count on this. The Jews understood that. So John's witness was needed physically to point the way to them in their dispensation. The Holy Spirit is needed spiritually to point the way in the dispensation of grace, because when the Spirit of God came now, John the Baptist is no longer here. But the Spirit of God is here, and he is carrying us in this day of grace. And so Jesus is trying to get them to understand the physical reality is that doors are for exiting, entering, and protecting. The porter's job then, if it's John the Baptist during their age, is to identify, detect, validate, and announce, just like the prophets did all before him in Moses and the Psalms. And the Spirit's job does the same thing for us in our dispensation. So you're right, it is both in their own dispensation. Everybody got that?
Yeah.
All right, don't ask me to repeat all that because I'm not getting your tape. Amen. All right, so the physical reality is that doors are for exiting, entering, and protecting. The porter's job then is to open that door for you and I. It is the Spirit of God. And the physical practicality is that the doors bring the outcome of going in and out and being protected. And then we'll look at the rest of this next week. Amen. By the way, no door, no protection. And anything and anybody can come in. Why do you think the world does what they do? Because they have no porter by the Holy Spirit protecting what comes in and what goes out. That's why gay marriage is okay. That's why homosexuality is okay. That's why bestiality is okay. That's why everything under the sun is okay. Divorce is okay. It's all okay in their eyes. Why? There's no protection. What's going to filter out? The moral law? Human law, which are all faulty? It's got to be Bible law. Amen. It's got to be Word of God. And we've got the Holy Spirit that can discern what comes in and what goes out. And so he said this, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be what? Saved, and shall go where? In and what? Out and find what? Pasture. Leave you with this thought. What does saved mean? Because doesn't he say be saved? John 10:9. Saved from God's wrath. Amen. What does saved mean? Because it said, hey, Jesus said, I'm the door. By me, if any man, anyone enter into me, he shall be saved.
Saved from death.
Saved from death. Amen.
Eternally secure.
Eternal secure. Amen. Everything the door is protecting from. The literal definition of saved means delivered or protected, healed, preserved, made whole. And the same chapter, notice what he says in verse 28, John chapter 10, verse 28. Same chapter. He comes down here. And I give unto them what? Eternal life, and they shall never what? Perish, neither shall what? Any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of what? My Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So what does it mean? It means to be saved, protected, preserved, divided from, all of the above. But most of all, it means to be born again because it's eternal. And this doesn't leave. It's always there. Amen. We'll finish out the rest of this about the green pastures on the next lesson. Amen. And then we will be done. Amen. So I'm glad y'all answered your question. Praise the Lord. What is the porter? Amen. The porter is the one that opens the door. He is John the Baptist. He is the Holy Spirit. For the time, it was Jesus because he opened their understanding. So Jesus was the porter. The Holy Spirit is the porter. And John the Baptist is the porter. The key is context. Context is always the key. What's going on? What's the setting? Who is Jesus dealing with? And you notice he's dealing with all Jews. Gentiles hadn't even been in chapter 10. Amen. All Jews. So it's dealing with the law and the dispensation of grace. Amen. Father, help us now as we, Lord, digest these things tonight. As we look at seeing what the Spirit's job is in our life. John the Baptist was four times. The Bible says he was a burning and a shining light. Lord, the Spirit of God is now forever and eternal, and he is there as our porter to identify, to protect, Lord, to guide and to guard, to allow entrance and exiting, and providing caution for us in areas of, Lord, misuse of the Word of God. Guide us now into your truth, Lord, as we rely upon your Word.